Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, 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 it's WTIC. 5 o'clock hour rants coming up. Steve in Cheshire right now. Hi, Steve.
Well, hello there, Todd. I'm calling about the Trump trial, and I'm just wondering what the 18 or so women who were dismissed, along with 100 others, would have meant or might have meant in terms of a possible outcome, whether they would identify with reproductive rights or perhaps a more ethical way of looking at it, adopting an attitude that this country is in serious trouble and there are other things besides reproductive rights that might result and should result in a president who is clearly incompetent getting reelected.
I would guess in New York City that the reproductive right thing would be the most compelling argument, wouldn't it?
Well, I would make a few other points, having been a Nevada resident for many years and working for some major agencies in a medical school out there. At the time, Stormy Daniels had her liaison with Donald Trump. She was a married woman. But more importantly, Nevada, people think that prostitution is allowable. It is not only, allowable in licensed brothels. Any other person who may sell a liaison for money, possibly at a future date, I'm not quite a lawyer on that one, violates Nevada law and is subject to criminal prosecution because under the terms of the law, as I understood it, such people would be considered prostitutes unless they were working in a brothel. And of course, she was a stripper. And, you know, make what you want of it. It's probably the attempt to extort money from a person many years later probably invalidates my thesis. But in any event, these points should be kept in mind as to what the overall character is of the person that he is going on trial for.
All right, Steve, thank you for the call, sir. 860-522-9842. We've got rants coming up. Right now, we're checking the ride home. BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, Mark Christopher, sir.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yes, yes, yes. It's rant line time. This is when we play the rant. Rant line number 860-751-4698. Also, we take calls during the rants. 860-522-9842. Before we play the rants, I want to play you something from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose campaign continues to intrigue me, not because I support him, but because I support having more voices and more options. And I believe that having somebody like him around makes everybody who campaigns for the office of presidency rise to a higher standard, because what the two major parties tend to do is talk the same rhetoric all the time, and he's using different rhetoric. Listen to this. Listen.
If we want to meet our obligation as a generation, as a civilization, as a nation, which is to create communities for our children that provide them with the same opportunities for dignity and enrichment and prosperity and good health as the communities that our parents gave us, we've got to start by protecting our environmental infrastructure, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the wildlife, the fisheries, the public lands, those things that are not reducible to private property, but by their nature are the property of all of us, the commons, the commonwealth, the landscapes, the waterways that connect us to the 10,000 generations of human beings that lived before there were laptops, and that ultimately connect us to God. And
now that's a little different, isn't it, to have a political candidate, a presidential candidate talking like that? He's not a super religious guy, but he's saying there's a place in our world. He's filling an empty space in our political rhetoric where he's talking about spirituality, but he's hooking that spirituality up into something that he's worked on for a big chunk of his life, and that is environmentalism. He's connecting environmentalism to spirituality and to religion. And that, I believe, is him feeling a void in our political discussions and trying to fill that void with something he feels personally inspired by and driven by, and that is to protect the environment, but also coming from a religious family. I just think that's powerful stuff, and it's missing. Where it finds its power is that it sounds like it's personal and it's sincere. Thoughts, please. 860-522-9842, and we'll get the rants going. Again, the rant line number, 860-751-4698. And we will, right now, play some rants for you. You're on WTIC.
Hey, can somebody tell me why a 2x4 is $8? Can somebody tell me why a sheet of plywood is $50? Are we out of trees in this country? Sleepy Joe, what's going on here? You got to be kidding me here.
That is well done, isn't it? Yowza.
Hey, Todd, this is Bob from the Berkshires again. You know, I just listened to you saying that Joe Biden's doing this and Joe Biden's doing that. I think both of us know Joe Biden's not doing any of it. Joe Biden didn't even know what he was signing when he did all the executive orders. The only thing he was doing was looking for a line to put his name on. So I think we better start looking for other people that are actually doing this. Nice to talk to you. See ya.
It's nice to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Don't forget, we take live calls during the rant calls.
Yeah, hi. This is Scott from Amstead, Connecticut. I want to give a big shout-out to Fred in Middletown. I think I met him like 30 years ago when I was a kid washing dishes in a restaurant in Marlboro. So this one's for you, Fred. Gone are the days of Dennis the Menace. Now girls are beaten so senseless in Greenwich. UConn parades, all we got on the news. While boys have tampon dispensers and bathrooms. When in God's name will this craziness stop? Inflation's so out of control we can't shop. Content of characters, nothing today. The idol of skin color hated or praised. What is a woman? Can you be a man? All of these issues are used as a scam by politics, media, teachers, and fools who robbed us of truth and ruined our schools. Hollywood sickos make millions and laugh while riding on yachts and taking bloodbaths. I will never give in, not for one day. Scott from Amston, what more can I say?
Wowza, where'd you get that thing, Scott? Did you write that? Or where did you find it? Share, please. 860-522-9842.
Hey, Todd, I want to talk about what's going on with the O.J. Simpson settlement money. Now that he's passed away, they're going to have to put everything into a trust fund. And then the United States government takes their money first. How the heck is that justice? These people have been waiting 30 years for some justice, and they've never gotten it.
Isn't it already in trust? Or does it have to go from one trust to the next and get taxed? Is that what you're saying? I hadn't seen that. Anybody following the OJ stuff with a lot of scrutiny for tax law and stuff like that? 860-522-9842. I do hope the Goldmans and the, what's her family's name? Can't remember. I do hope they get their piece of the action. They have been waiting a long time.
Hey, Todd, I hear that Governor Biden is going to blame all the grocery prices.
Do you mean Jolly Ned? I think you mean Jolly Ned.
Hey, Todd, I hear that Governor Biden is going to blame all the grocery prices on the greedy, wealthy companies that are raising their prices and profiting more than any other time in history. But they forget that they caused us to raise our wages by putting our minimum wage higher than most other places, and you just don't raise the lower people. You have to raise each team member higher and higher, and it gets very, very high. I remember that the highest wage was like $32 an hour for the highest hourly paid. Now, and I won't tell you how I know, it's $42.50, and that's within 3 years. Why? Because we raised the minimum wage. And what happens when you raise the minimum wage? You have to cover that by increasing prices sometimes. People have no clue. Vote for that minimum wage and watch your prices go up.
Right.
Or watch jobs get deleted. Like at McDonald's.
It's true.
Have you used your app today or your McDonald's sandwich? Well, that's saying we don't need team members to place an order. You're doing it yourself. So the blame is always on government forcing businesses to spend money where it's not really necessary. So it's Biden's fault. Thanks. Bye.
You could even look at it this way, that the politicians already know that they've ruined jobs in fast food, that they've destroyed those by making it too expensive. So they're trying to shift the blame before the big automation push comes, because soon everything's going to be automated, not just the ordering, but also the prep and bagging and all that stuff. What do you think? 860-522-9842. Mm. Dave's calling from Brantford. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, the guy who was talking about inflation. I got to get on William Tong, Marty Looney, and Bob Duff, the three dwarves who floated up that news piece about the conspiracy of the grocery stores to drive up the prices.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most ignorant economics I've ever read. It's on the front page of the New Haven Register. Ugly Faces of Capitalism was the title story. Industry consolidation and profits were serving as the primary driver of inflation. That is the most ignorant statement I've ever heard. The common unit of transaction is the dollar, which is being debased every time government spends a dollar. Exhibit A, student debt forgiveness, which throws that amount of purchasing power into the market for everything else, and those students whose debt is forgiven do not contribute one bit of production to sponge up the money that's been loosed on everything else, groceries and vacations and cars. William Tong, Marty Looney, and Bob Duff, they are no better than those commies in Venezuela who always blame the people actually supplying what we need for driving up the prices. Shame on those people.
Yes, but it's worse than that, isn't it? Because what they're doing is trying to hide their own culpability on innocent people.
Absolutely. It's the look squirrel syndrome. You know, don't look at what we've done driving up the price of diesel that delivers all those groceries. And if it wasn't the grocery stores which is what, why is the price of every farm stand going up as high as the grocery stores? They're not in collusion with each other. They're as independent as you can get. Mm-hmm. And the price of their corn is going up just as high as Stop and Shop and Big Y and every other big guy.
I'm kind of old-fashioned. It's hard for me to let go of the idea that there isn't some level of nobility and a sense of duty amongst those who hold elective office, that they use the power of the office to con us into not understanding what's going on.
Todd, thanks for letting me spin it out. And more than blaming those three dwarves for this kind of economic nonsense, I blame the voters, us, who eat up this kind of economic nonsense that we solved way back in the Depression. Too much money chasing too few goods is the problem. It is not the people supplying the stuff we desperately want to buy. Those are the capitalists. We ought to be down on our knees thanking them for supplying the necessities of life.
Dave, thank you so much. Always good to hear from you and to hear your economics arguments.
Hey, Todd, it's the proud American patriot. Today's rant is about inflation. Now, we see William Tong, our great attorney general here in Connecticut, is investigating companies, that food companies, that is, that are posting record profits. Just like I figured this was going on, these greedy Republican CEOs of gas, oil, and food companies want the billionaire tax break from Trump, so they're clearly keeping food prices and gasoline prices kind of high. The whole thing is a sham, and these people need to be held accountable. There is no inflation. It's just a bunch of greedy Republican CEOs, millionaires, and billionaires that want the Trump tax break to try to get him back in office. I should have known this all along.
That is one of the I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, but that's just a really ridiculous argument. I know you like to just play the partisan thing and exaggerate it, but oh yeah, there is that, the spoof that we should interpret that as a spoof, which it qualifies as.
Hey, Todd, love the show. I heard somebody the other day, it was definitely on PIC. I can't remember now if it was your show or another, but it was definitely PIC. Somebody mentioning the First Amendment and how you're allowed to voice your stupid ideas and associate with people who voice similar stupid ideas.
Or different stupid ideas, whatever. You get to associate with whoever you want and say whatever you want, and it's a good thing, is it not?
And that is absolutely true. The First Amendment guarantees that. And it seems to me that if we didn't have that, there would be no such thing as the Democrat Party. Please note that I correctly refer to it as the Democrat Party. It is not the Democratic Party, as many callers refer to it. Yes, I am channeling Rush. I am not taking credit for that. But it is the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party.
But it is technically, the name of it is the Democratic Party. So I'm not sure which part of that you're addressing. That you want it to be called the Democrat Party because they aren't Democratic? Or if you think that literally it's called the Democrat Party, which it's not. 860-522-9842. What's going
on? Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And on, well.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, hey, it's WTIC. 860-522-9842. So earlier we were talking about the dumb data. Press releases I get. It's fascinating how off the wall some of the stuff is. Listen to this one. New data reveals Connecticut's most loved fictional businesses. This might actually be kind of fun. A new study has revealed the most popular fictional businesses from film, TV, video games, and, you know, pop culture. Acme Corporation. Acme Corporation is one of the most beloved in Connecticut, as is Los Pollos Hermanos. I don't know what that is. Fans of the business search 611 times a month on average for the company. And the company Pizza Planet has been revealed as the third most popular business in Connecticut, according to data coming off the search engines, probably off of Google. And it shows, well, what exactly does it show? It shows how curious we are about getting instantaneous data on irrelevant sorts of things, that we just want to satisfy our curiosity. And it strikes me as I watch people, and including myself on the phone, there's a tendency to interrupt whatever is going on to double check. Let me look that up and see if that's for real. Right? You do that? 860-522-9842. You do that, right? Just search something to see. Go, well, confirm. It's like you can't remember who's the actor that was in that movie. And really what we should be doing is trying to remember out of our own heads, because our own heads are designed, our minds are designed to be able to recall things. And we want to exercise that. There's another thing I read recently where because of the GPSs, because we don't figure out our own directions anymore, that a visualization skill that is something we've always had is going away. It's disappearing on us. That's kind of sad too, isn't it? 860-522-9842, traffic time, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good evening, WTIC, 860-522-9842. We've got Juan calling from East Hartford. Hi, Juan.
Hello, Mr. Todd.
How was Mr. Juan, nice to have you here.
I am. Happy to be back. I was down in Aruba last week, tried to listen in, but the Odyssey application wouldn't come through.
No, not enough bandwidth down there, huh?
No, I missed a whole week worth of good stuff. But, you know, you're talking about remembering stuff and trying to use tricks to try to not rely on the phone. And
yes.
You know, I do that with math. I don't try to use a calculator if I can, or go to the calculator, so you can just remain sharp with the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And looking things up, I tell you, if you don't know what you're talking about and you're going to start looking up the facts on the phone, you shouldn't even be talking about whatever you're talking about. Cause
well, you reach a certain age, Juan, and everything you're trying to remember is evasive.
The only thing I never forget is to be able to get up and go to the bathroom when my bladder tells me. So
that is a hard thing to remember.
Thing.
But, you know, you've got an unfair advantage, I think, because of your piloting, your aircraft operation, I think keeps a part of your brain that's more technical and memory-based, more literal. I think it has more power because you're exercising it all the time.
I think you're absolutely right. Actually, I was talking about that the other day with my son Charlie about recognition. Like, I could be having a conversation as I'm flying in the airplane, and when they call my tail number, which is the number you're identified through air traffic control, I could hear it and stop my conversation.
Even while you were doing something else, you mean?
Correct. Yeah. So that kind of keeps your mind sharp in that aspect, that you can hear a lot of things, and also the ability to be able to remember, you know, it's muscle memory.
Yes.
A lot of muscle memory. And the least you fly, the more problems you can get yourself into.
Well, thank you for that, Juan. Nice to hear from you. Joining us now is Lebo, Michael Leibowitz, host of the podcast called The Rational Egoist. Hello there, Lebo.
Good evening, sir.
Nice to talk with you, Mike. What's going on?
Well, I don't know how nice it's going to be because I'm absolutely miserable. As I told you this morning, I'm really miserable. And I'd actually like to talk to you about grief, both because I think it's an interesting topic and because maybe you can help me out a little bit here.
Oh, I don't know. I've got very little experience, but I'll try my best. Maybe somebody in the audience will know better. Go ahead.
Maybe. It's just a very tough experience right now where, you know, my girlfriend recently died. And right now her friend is over here and they're moving all of her stuff out. You know, I kept the stuff that I wanted, but a bulk of the stuff they're moving, and they're moving her son's stuff out of here. And it's just very trying on me, Todd. You know what I mean? It's like 3 months ago I had a family that we were starting a life together, and now I'm alone in an empty apartment, and it's not a good feeling. And I just don't know. I mean, people say you have to grieve in your own way, and I guess that's true, and they say it takes as long as it takes, but I don't know how to navigate out of this. I mean, I know how to live life and put one foot in front of the other every day, but I don't know. That doesn't seem like much of a life to can, you know, do that forever.
You're not looking at forever. You're just looking at how do you get through. This is the most acute period. So I think the one foot in front of another, that's what you have right now. And then you, you know, you might pick new directions and pick up some momentum and start to feel maybe the spirit of Melissa guiding you in a certain way. And you feel like you're taking that journey with her, even though she's not there in the same way that she used to be.
It's just it makes me just question things, and not on a deep level. I'm an optimistic person, generally speaking. I always think there's a way to accomplish goals, to achieve things. I always figure life's got better things coming. And she worked so hard at being a better person, at educating herself to become a chef, which is what she wanted to do, and to be a good mother. And to see that just get ripped away from her by this hideous disease, it's a shock to my system. It's a shock to my worldview. You know what I mean?
The worldview being what? That life works out?
Life works out. Things are going to get better. Now, I obviously, of course, always know that things happen in life that you can't control that are bad. But this one just hit me so deeply on such a different level than anything's ever hit me before, including the death of my parents, that it's just a kind of a soul shaking kind of thing, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
And I would assume that the particular precise moment you're in right now, which is the emptying of her life and Vinny's life from the apartment as you prepare to vacate, like we can hear the echo that didn't used to be there. So this is bringing it around to a point of reality that different things will do different things in terms of how they make those sensations feel. But this must feel particularly like a physical manifestation of the reality repercussions from you know,
right.
from her loss.
Exactly. And people have thought, you know, they said to me, oh, you know, having all her stuff there, that's got to be tough. And maybe it was, but having it taken is a heck of a lot tougher. Because, like you said, it drives the reality home. And now, you know, I'm by no means going to just be an eternal pessimist. I know that. I know that ultimately I'll come out of this and, you know, I'll feel better again and I'll live my life and I'll find happiness. But the whatever happiness that I do find will be without Melissa. And that saddens me because she was my other half. I mean, I don't believe in soulmates, but she came as close to convincing me that such a thing existed as anything I could ever imagine.
But I do think that she will be there and that the happiness that you feel in the future will come from the recognition of her being a permanent part of you and feeling her presence in some way. So I don't feel like, I mean, obviously she's gone, but I feel like that she will return in ways that maybe you can't feel her right now because she'll just be a normal presence in your life. And the other thing that comes to mind is that there is a denial aspect to life, a denial of reality, that we're allowed to have 99.9% of the time because we're busy looking forward and going about our business. But when you lose somebody, then you don't have that gradualness that life normally has, the slow movement of change, and that feeling of I can't go back. Isn't that inexplicable? You can't go back. You can't go back to where it was 3 weeks ago or a month ago or 2 months ago. Those things are gone to you. But it's when somebody is gone from you in an instant, they were there and then they're gone. Like, that's beyond our ability to comprehend, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we all kind of live with an illusion that we're going to live forever. Now, we know we're not going to, but if we spend every hour of every day focusing on the fact that one day we're not going to be here, we would just be miserable and not get
But we also,
done.
That's not the feeling that life gives us. That's what I was saying, because we have this gradual progress that we make through life. But having somebody in their, you know, their mid...
I get
what,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just
immediate.
So sudden, you can't...
Yeah.
There's no way to process that.
No, and you know, the other day I was editing something and I had to go back and I was looking at a podcast I did in December while we were preparing to move. I was still doing the podcast and it just occurred to me, like, I was looking at myself doing that and just thinking, wow, I had no clue what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
None. Like, obviously she was already sick. We didn't know it, but she was. And I'm just thinking, like, it takes, I guess it rips away that sort of illusion that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's what we were living under. Like, we had no idea what was coming, and that's how everyday life is. We have no idea what's coming. I mean, I'm going for a ride pretty soon. I could get in a car accident. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't think I will, but the point is you just never really know. And when something like that happens, it reveals the uncertainty of life in a very stark way.
It is all fascinating stuff in terms of the human experience and our ability to deny reality. And in this particular era, you know, it used to be 100 years ago, people would have five kids and one of them would make it to adulthood. It was so much harder to survive and loss was so much more common. But we live in a time now where somebody being plucked in their youth away from us, like Melissa was, that's just such a rare thing. And we come to expect, and the expectation is met, that life is predictable and follows a course of events and action that you can lay out in advance. And most likely it seems to follow.
Yeah, and you know, Todd, it's like I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in any grand purpose or anything like that. But it's almost as if I felt to myself, like, okay, I've been through enough in my life. It's good things from here on out. Like, I'm not going to have any tragedies. As ridiculous as that sounds, and I certainly never would have said it explicitly like I just did, but I think I had that feeling or that sense. Because now I'm thinking, like, what the heck? Like, how much more do I have to go through in this world? You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. But then there's people out there who have been through far worse, and I can't imagine what they're thinking or how they process and deal.
Yeah, I don't know how. When you think about the worst things, it's really, I mean, any big tragic loss like what you're going through, it's really hard to come to terms with. At the same time, I feel like that, you know, you had 25 years of being incarcerated, and that allowed you to become the extraordinary person that you are now, because you saw your way through that and you forced yourself through a period of incredible self-reflection and growth, and that this too will be a gift of growth, even though it sounds even unfair to say that now and to think in those terms. But life is about experience, and sometimes there are relatively minor experiences, and sometimes they're acute and agonizing, but you get through them and you become richer. And I do feel strongly that she will be always with you in some kind of real way.
And I certainly know what she wanted for me, and I know what she would want me to do. I mean, she told me, so I know, and I know moping is not it.
And I don't think you have much of that in you anyway. You're not designed that way.
Yeah, I'm not. I figure I'll come out of it. You know, I'll work to come out of it. I have to process and deal with it, and it's what I'm dealing with today. And I just felt that in calling the show, it would have been disingenuous of me to, you know, talk about, you know, the politics of what's going on in Israel and Iran. It just would have been very inauthentic, I think.
Well, anyway, this, I feel the more authentic the conversations are, the richer they are, and the more rare they are. Like, how often do you get to talk like this on the radio for something that everybody thinks about and everybody experiences in their life but doesn't get discussed in the public square? And it should be. It's good that you brought it up.
It should be. And thanks for giving me the opportunity, Todd. I really appreciate it.
And Lebo, you're an extraordinary human being, and you will become more extraordinary as you push your way through these things. So I'm optimistic about your future.
Thank you. You have a great night.
Michael Lebo, check out his podcast, The Rational Egoist. You just go to your podcast app and you plug that in, and there it goes. It just takes off on you. Okay, I think I've got time to play for you one other Robert F. Kennedy cut I wanted to play. This is just a piece of the segment I played a piece of earlier in the hour.
And it's like God is a tapestry and he's talking to us.
God is a tapestry and he's talking to us. He's making an environmental pitch but also tying it to spirituality and his religious beliefs.
And it's like God is a tapestry and he's talking to us from all of these different vectors. And we're pulling threads out of that capacity. And it is such a crime against our children. And I think... I think we deserve a president in this country who cares about these things and who talks about these things to the American people.
That's a campaign video from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who I just think he's adding an aspect to the conversation that's wonderful. And it's got nothing to do with supporting him as a candidate, but supporting the idea that we should have available to us a rich conversation about the future of the country and the real problems and the real answers to those problems, instead of the imaginary ones and the two-dimensional ones, which have been highly refined and made really not useful to us by the two major parties. All right. Have a great night. It's nice to have you here. Thank you for being here. And we're going to get a traffic update and wrap things up with Mark Christopher. Mark is in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Marcus, be good and be safe.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.